Thanks, pal. Great times, man.
Hey, for sure, for sure. You guys are my guys, man.
Really appreciate you hanging in.
You guys give a black tie a hard time for me.
We definitely do. We would do that even without you telling us to do it.
David. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and NFL.com/Sheck. All right, it's time for me to do it once again, just like Babe Ruth did it in the 32 World Series, calling his shot to dead center against the Chicago Cubs. I'm calling our shot today, black tie behind the glass. This is going to be a good show. Coming up, running back of the Green Bay Packers, Eddie Lacy, is going to be with us. We're going to do our red challenge flag segment. We have Handsome Hank coming in here. Elliot Harrison out today, filling his shoes. Drew Statton himself, the stat head. We'll talk about his amazing stats. We'll go through some of those as Sunday's games approach for you. Always a delightful segment for you there. And the Red Challenge Flag, of course, we pick the games for you, or our favorite games, the most intriguing ones. But first, Black Tie. The reason I know this is going to be a good show, because at long last, he's back. Our old pal of the Cincinnati Bengals. We rode around in the sports car, he and I, about a year or so ago. We had a wonderful time. He's visited us here in Studio 66, and he's going to be on the phone momentarily. It's Terrence Newman. It's exciting, right, Black Tie?
What's happening, fellas?
That is right. It is exciting.
I'm sad that Handsome Hank, I don't think he's going to get in here in time to catch up with
Terrence. He's in some fancy meeting. You know, Hank's big time now.
I know, but they always like to trade English accents.
Yeah.
And then Elliot likes to come in and do his Jerry Jones impression. Yeah. And Terrence Newman.
I'm just hoping it gives me a couple new drops.
Yeah, he and I like to address the big issues of life together, and so I'm sure we'll get into some of that. But one of our all-time favorites joining us once again after far too long. Black Tie, so excited he even cooked up a little intro. Did you there, Black Tie? Terrence Newman, here's your intro.
Terrence Newman's on the line.
Terrence Newman!
Hello, chappies.
Well, before we get to that, I thought you'd have had a lot more pool. I don't really know what that's about. If you really want to be on the sidelines, you can convert and become a Bengals fan, and
well,
that's what I do.
This is a deal with the devil.
Strawberries.
Is that an English accent that I heard?
Is it authentic in your
authentic
book, Handsome?
Yeah, I think he could get away with it for a while.
I don't know if his is real. He looks like he's from Venice.
I always got your back, Terrence Newman.
I will talk to you as well.
It was kind of like a bougie soul food restaurant.
Well, that was absolutely ridiculous. Congratulations. Here he is, everybody. You're seeing him star out there all the time for the Cincinnati Bengals, sitting there in first place in the AFC North. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, man. I've missed you guys, man. I'm like, hey, I got to get with my brothers on the West Coast, man.
Yeah. How's life, man? You know, last time we spoke, you know, it's funny. You didn't know what you were going to do. Were you going to go to the Raiders? I think we talked last year during the season, but you didn't know. But then you wind up in Cincy, and now you watch on Sunday. You are all over the place playing a significant role there in that Bengals defense. How's it going for you this year?
Not too bad. I mean, you know, coming off the last 2 weeks, we lost in New England over a week ago, and then we had the tie with Carolina, obviously. But other than that, you know, the season's been going well. We just got to right the ship and get a couple of things corrected. But, I mean, the season's still long, and, you know, we still have a lot of opportunities in front of us.
Well, listen, you know the rule here. No jive talk. Did you, Terrence Newman, know the overtime rule? Did you know that there could be a tie in the NFL?
Yeah, I remember that. I think that it was the Bengals in Philadelphia when Donovan wasn't quite sure. Actually, there was a bunch of guys asking questions out there. But
what? How is that possible? How does nobody know?
I'm not calling anybody out, though.
No, I'm not asking you to.
I'm not going Tupac and calling out names right now.
But you could do it to Carolina.
I didn't know exactly how it was going to end. you know, how the game went, you know, as far as overtime rules.
I think that that is – I can't believe that. I also can't believe that there's guys who is their job to be kick returners and they don't know that they must field the kickoff or else it's a live ball. I think that's that stuns me, but so be it.
I'm just glad I'm not a ref or an umpire. You know, they got so many rules nowadays. I think that's a tough job. I'm being sarcastic, by the way.
Well, I think – but you know what is weird about it, though? Who grows up? Does anybody say to when they're 11 years old or 8 years old, whatever?
They want to be an umpire.
I want to grow up and be a referee. Who? What kind of instinct? What kind of human being wants to officiate others? Isn't that weird?
I've heard a lot of different things, but I've never heard that one. That's a good question. And I wonder if any of those guys, you know, while they were growing up, said they wanted to be a ref. Most of them have other jobs anyway, but.
Do you think
that's right.
Ed Hockley's a lawyer, I believe. Yeah, do you suppose that when they're growing up that they failed at sports, so they decided, well, I'm going to stick it to all the athletes then who I didn't make any of the team, so this is my vengeance?
Well, I think that could be partially the reason, but do you remember that commercial back in the day that had the ref that – you know, the coach was, you know, chewing him out on the sideline. Then he gets home, and he was taking it like a champ. And then his wife is, you know, chewing him out at the dinner table.
Yeah.
I think that could be possibly true, like why some of those guys want to be refs.
Yeah, it's very strange. Yeah, here's what I want to do. I want to wear – and they also – the outfits are a little weird for 62-year-old men. It's kind of like the baseball manager sitting in the dugout. Why did he have to wear the uniform? Why do we make referees wear caps and the stripes? It's a little silly looking out there.
Well, you could say that, but also, why do refs wear the same thing that they wear at Foot Locker? You ever thought about that one?
Yeah,
have
maybe
you ever thought about that one?
No, I hadn't. Maybe the founders of the NFL, George Halas and Art Rooney and all the rest were walking around, and they went into Foot Locker to get themselves some new sneakers and said,
you know what?
We love this
That's
look.
What we need to have our guys wear. Right there.
All right, well, let's talk about the last 2 weeks because you guys are riding high, and then – Foxborough and everybody, with the exception of me, and again, no jive, Terrence Newman, I foretold of the Patriots looking good on that night. I just had a hunch that they were not going to go quietly and with all the week leading up to that game. Did you feel in going into that game, boy, we're running into a tough spot here because everybody is basically challenging Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and saying they're done for. We're going to get their best possible effort here. We could be in a tough spot this game.
Trust me. I knew, and I kept trying to tell guys, like, you know, this is going to be one of the tough games that you're going to play this year, you know. This team just came off of a pretty lopsided win, loss in Kansas City. And, you know, they're calling for the offensive coordinator. They're calling for the quarterback, you know. And I knew – if you've watched football in the last 10 years, you know Belichick teams, they're always going to be ready and prepared. They just got out, you know, played that game, I think, and they weren't going to let that happen twice.
So did you – when you're looking at tape, though, leading up to the game, are you looking at it and saying, yeah, they really haven't looked good, or are you saying, yeah, I can still see Brady isn't done for. I can see he's still got it. Or did you just say – well, they've been crummy, but that doesn't mean it's – you know, how did you evaluate going in? Did you see something on tape that led you to believe that, wow, they're not nearly as bad as they've looked the last week or two?
Well, I mean, there are things that you have to understand. Like, if you can't run the ball, it's going to be tough to throw the ball, you know. It's kind of – they go together hand in hand. So they didn't – you know, they weren't having success running the ball that night against Kansas City. And obviously they, you know, they didn't have success throwing it. So, you know, he's sitting back in the pocket and, you know, back in the day you remember watching Tom Brady and he used to be able to just sit back there with his feet on the ground and survey the field.
Right.
You know? And, you know, it just didn't happen for, you know, a while this year. And I think they just did some things to, you know, help in protection, keep a couple guys in and, you know, let him get some time back there to actually throw the football down the field. And, you know, it's definitely working for him.
Who's the hardest? Is Gronk the toughest guy to tackle that you've ever had to tackle?
No. I'd have to probably say Brandon Jacobs was a load.
That makes sense. Yeah.
You remember that guy?
Sure, of course.
That was like 250.
Yeah, he was massive.
Yeah, he was a load for sure.
Terrence Newman, real quick, producer Black Tie here. Just a quick question for you. You guys played Tom Brady, and then followed up with Cam Newton, who had probably one of his best performances of his career. And you guys play Andrew Luck next week. As a defense, which one of these quarterbacks is tougher to prepare for?
That's kind of a skewed question. I mean,
Black Tie, that's not a good question.
Quarterback. Like, I prepare against receivers. I think there are a lot of great quarterbacks in the league, and the thing for them is, you know, getting protections right, you know, calling out, you know, making sure the protections are going to the right people, getting the balls into the right people's hands, you know, reading the defense and throwing good footballs. With that being said, I think there are a ton of people that are able to do that. There are guys that are definitely better at reading defenses, audibly and getting plays, you know, getting the team into the right play, and then delivering the ball to the right people. So for me, I prepare against receivers, you know, not quarterbacks.
But does it come up, though, in the week of prep against a guy like Cam Newton? How often do you have to remind yourselves, or I imagine a guy like you is probably telling the younger guys, hey, everybody, don't let your back get turned for too long at Cam Newton, or else he's going to be running behind you. You know, how big a challenge or an additional thing to prepare for is it for even you in the secondary?
I mean, we have to cover longer, obviously, because they can scramble out of the pocket, you know, which gives us the opportunity to use our hands a little bit. You know, once a quarterback gets out of the pocket, there's no illegal contact. So in that sense, we can still, you know, be a little more aggressive, still holding, but, you know, we can be aggressive. It's just tough, facing, you know, quarterbacks like Cam, because he's such a threat as a quarterback and as a running back. You know, he's pulling – they had, like, lead, you know, running plays called for him last week, which – I mean, it's not every day you play, you know, an offense mm-hmm. that has, you know, running plays literally called for their quarterback. But he's so good at it that, you know, you have to put that in there. And it's different this week. I don't think they're going to have any called running back plays. You know, I think they're a little bit different in stature. You know, Cam is a bit of a bigger guy. I think he's like 250, you know, and 6'5".
He's a monster, man. Is he the? I mean, he is a load. He is 6'5". He cuts as about as big a figure as any NFL player I've seen. Period.
He's you know, physically imposing.
Yeah.
So I don't see them. I don't see Indianapolis, you know, incorporating any of that with Luck, because, you know, he's not as big as Cam is.
So you go from Mike Zimmer moves on, goes up to Minnesota, of course. So how has that transition been for you guys? Is it a big same principles are in place this year? It's not a big adjustment, or has there been a little bit of a learning curve with this change there?
I don't think there's much of a learning curve, for the simple fact that, you know, we're running a lot of the same schemes, and Paulie G was a linebackers coach here. He's been a coach here for a while, so, you know, they understood each other, and, you know, they have a lot of similarities, but yet they're different. And I think the defense is going to be, you know, pretty good. But obviously when you switch coordinators, we switch offensive and defensive coordinators. So, it takes a little bit just adjusting to get used to, you know, the coach in general, being the one to, you know, facilitate all the meetings and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But once it happens for a couple weeks, you're good.
So we talked, like I say, we mentioned that you decided you were, came down to the Raiders and the Bengals. We here on the DDFP strongly encourage you to go to Bengals, because we wanted you to be on a contender here and take a run at the Super Bowl. Are you happy with the lifestyle in Cincy over the East Bay of Oakland?
Well, I didn't really get to see the lifestyle in the East Bay, so I already knew what, you know, what was to offer here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the people, the team, and the coaches. You know, at the end of the day, it was a deal where I came here originally because Coach Zim put his neck out on me for me. You know, to bring me into Cincinnati. So I felt like I owed it, you know, owed it mm-hmm. to him to come back and try to finish that thing out.
Yeah, it's funny because when we talked about him, you and me went back and forth. Why is Zimmer not a coach yet in the NFL, a head coach in the NFL? So good for him that he's up there in Minnesota and at least some positive signs emerging there with individual pieces there. But in Cincinnati, explain to me this. I don't get. I love the regional foods. You know, I love to go. If they say, hey, you're in Buffalo, you got to eat the wings, I do it, and I do it with pleasure because they taste good. I don't get the chili thing, though. Explain that to me. What gives with the Skyline chili over the spaghetti noodles?
I have no idea. I would recommend that people, if you want to have chili in Cincinnati or in Ohio, go to Wendy's.
Really? Wendy's chili, even over the local Skyline, which is so famous. They always say that.
It's like soup, though. It's so runny. I don't understand it either. Like, the chili here is not like, you know, I'm used to, like, the thick, you know, meaty thing, soup that's like, I mean, chili that's chili. Well, this is like a soup, and I just can't. I looked at it one day, and I was like, yeah, I can't eat that. You know, it just doesn't look appealing to me.
No, it's not good. But then within your division, you can go to Baltimore and get some nice crab cakes. I don't know what they have in Cleveland. And in Pittsburgh, they have the sandwiches with the French fries and the coleslaw on it. Have you ever had that, the Primanti sandwich with the slaw and the fries?
I haven't, but I want to know, how much do you weigh now?
A lot, I weigh. It's not your business what I weigh. I weigh a lot of, so what? That's my business. I carry a little extra weight. Food and booze, those are my passions in life. So what?
What's your booze of choice?
I go beer, wine. I go pretty straightforward. Do you enjoy to have a little something at night if there's not a game?
I'm a wine guy. I like a little wine. I like Cabs and Pinot Noirs.
Oh, look
at this. Yeah, I'm a wine guy.
That doesn't surprise me in the least. You cut that classy sort of figure, Tinu, at all times. Speaking of food real quick, just because I'm starting my campaign that I do annually, don't you think that stuffing is so delicious that it shouldn't be left to just once a year? Shouldn't we have stuffing on the menu year-round when you go to a restaurant or whoever makes the food in your home? Shouldn't they put stuffing on the side of the plate more than once a year?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Can I say that?
Yes, you may. Yes, you may.
All right. Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Stuffing, I don't understand why it's just relative to one day, to Thanksgiving. Some people eat at Christmas as well.
I guess, stuffing
and gravy? Mm-hmm. Like, for real?
You know what they should do?
This holiday needs to hurry up because I'm getting hungry right now.
Oh, yeah. Now that we're on it, what kind of pie are you going to have? If you only get to have one pie at Thanksgiving, which one is it?
See, I try to, if I'm going to eat like a, you know, like a big guy, then at least I can not eat the dessert, and then I feel kind of good about myself.
I see.
I try to stay away from the dessert.
All right, so you'll have a double helping, nay, a triple helping of stuffing, but no pie, and that leaves Terrence Newman square. I don't appreciate you attacking me on my weight. So what? I got a pot belly. I'm not an athlete.
I didn't attack you. I'm just saying, like, it's impressive that you have such food knowledge from every city. I was just wondering
what you
weighed.
Yeah. Well, I weigh and look like someone who has tried all the food from different cities around the country. Last question for you, Terrence Newman, is to go back to where you started, the first-round draft pick of the Dallas Cowboys. You've shared your Jerry Jones impression for us in the past. What do you make of what Tony Romo and the gang's doing down there right now?
Well, I think that Tony Romo is playing some of his best football this year for the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that, you know, running DeMarco Murray around that offensive line that they have is working out. And our defense is playing remarkably well. And that's why they're 5-1.
Well done there, Jerry Newman, or Terry. I get confused. Anyway, listen, Terrence Newman, what a delight. Number 23 on your scorecard. Number one in our hearts here in the DDFP. We appreciate the time. Please stay in touch. We want to catch up with you as you guys roll towards January once again and hopefully get over the hump there once you get there. But in the meantime, like I say, what a pleasure to catch up with you once again. Continued good health to you, fella.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on, and we need to do this again soon.
Dave, da-da-da-da-da-don't. Dave.
There he goes. What a fella, huh, Black Tie?
Great guy, for sure. He did give me a drop. You find out what it is next episode.
I can predict what it was.
Which
it was
one?
The hell no.
Hell yeah.
See, he supports my righteous cause. My fight, as I say. It's time to get it rolling now. We're into mid-October. You know, my little ones at home now all have the Halloween costume selected. It's close enough now that we can start talking about Thanksgiving. That means here on the DDFP, the pie-off is approaching. Also, it's time to renew that stuffing call. Why don't we have more stuffing? Let's talk about that and some football-related matters right now, and then we'll have Eddie Lacy coming up for you in just a little bit. First of all the way from London, England, where he was reared, his team almost pulled out a victory against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers last Sunday, but of course, number 12 got the better of them. In the waning seconds there, Miami Dolphins fan extraordinaire, it's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
Dave, I was fine, but I came on here with the understanding that you would not mention that.
And I know. I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to walk out. This would be embarrassing for
you
everyone.
You issued that note through Black Tie,
yes.
And it didn't reach me?
Yep.
Wonder how that happened. So the messenger, we got bogged down. See,
I don't want to get into how this happened. I just,
you're
please
right.
Don't do it again.
Fair enough. I will say this, that the spoiler alert where I tell you how the games are going to turn out each week was pretty good. I had another banner week of picks in week six, but one I got wrong was I said Miami 21, Packers 20. It was 23-20 with 3 seconds left in the game, and then Aaron Rodgers ripped that one away. What a victory that would have been for me.
Sorry, did you miss what I just said to you?
I'm sorry. I was just reviewing my success.
Right.
I apologize that you had to be here for that one. Anywho, Handsome, I guess this is a good place to start. Well, I don't want to get in too much to your Dolphins.
There's no point. They're off the radar right now.
You're right. And let's also say hello to the breakout star of the last few weeks here of the DDFP, stats man from NFL Media, Drew Christensen, a.k.a. Drew Statton. What's the poop, fella?
Oh, stat and a bag of chips.
Oh.
Oh, okay. That's a good
that's
one,
from,
Black
That's from Garrett Coulter.
Bad statitude.
You know what, Dave? Feel free to talk about the Raiders losing as much as you want. I'm that kind of guy.
It's my show, Black Tie. Yeah. I mean, Handsome. I'll speak about whatever I feel. Well, you know what else was a good pick by me? Oh, I got hammered by the Chargers fans, even though I told everybody in the world in August the Chargers are going to win the AFC West, not the Broncos. I predicted that the Raiders would play them real close. I said, I think I gave them a 2-point victory, the Chargers. They won by 3, so I was right on once again. In other words, don't miss out on my picks unless you don't want to have the game spoiled for you, because that's exactly what I do. I don't just tell you who's going to win. I tell you pretty much by how much who's going to perform well and so on. All right, let's get into it here, fellas. Do we want to do Black Tie? How about we do a quick coin flip? Because I'm intrigued by the way the next several weeks, maybe the next 4 to 8 weeks set up. There's an intriguing, I don't want to say storm gathering, except if you're playing these teams. What I'm getting at is that the return of some big-name guys is going to really affect the playoff chase in both conferences. Specifically, Josh Gordon is coming back soon. You know, the Browns, you may have heard, are playing well this year already. What happens when you throw him back into the mix? How dangerous that team becomes? And then the Niners continue to win games, and they still have Alden Smith on the way back. They have Navarro Bowman on the way back. We'll see how good either one of those guys is after, coming back from injury and suspension and everything. But I guess that's the coin flip. Let's go with that one then. And you see also what Gronk can mean. That's something we talked about in the summer. If Gronk is right, how much different the Patriots look? Well, when he's healthy as he's been, that they become a completely different team. Same effect, I think, for the Browns and for the Niners here. So the coin flip is, give me the coin flip, Black Tie. Whose return is going to more greatly affect either playoff spot? I guess it means, will the Browns get into the playoffs? Will the Niners get into the playoffs thanks to the return of either of those guys? Who's more significant? I start with you, Hanson.
Dave, I'm going to say, I'm thrilled for Browns fans. I think it's exciting that they've got something to talk about wherever we are 6-7 weeks into the season. The Browns will finish last in their division.
Really?
The Browns are going to finish fourth in their division. And because of that, I've got to say that the 49ers players, those two players, are going to have an effect on the outcome of the playoff race, because they are going to be in the playoff hunt at least.
Well, I'll tell you, though, you look up the Browns' upcoming schedule here.
I've seen it. I see all that stuff. Yeah.
Some cupcakes.
They've
coming
got
up
some
here.
Great. They've got. I think the Titans, the Jags.
Yep.
They've got and the Raiders as well. They've got some great matchups coming up for them. But you know, when you look at that division, you look at the quality on those other teams. I don't think they're gonna come anywhere
last
but fourth
place
in the division.
So what
That's
do you think
not
the record
to say,
is?
I think it could be somewhere around 7 and 9. I think it could be one of those divisions where it's really crammed between 7 and 9 and 10 and 6. And you know, that's
all right. Well, so what does this mean for the Niners and for the rest of the NFC West specifically, then? Are they going to win the division?
They're not going to win the division, but they will be in the playoff hunt. When it comes to week 16, week 17, the Niners are still going to be alive, and those two guys coming back is going to be one of the reasons that they are still alive.
Bucky Brooks joined us earlier this week on our first podcast of the week. I encourage you, Nate Demand, you go back and listen to that one if you're intrigued by the NFC playoff race already as we go into week 7. There's a mix of teams in there, and it already looks like there's going to be some tough luck losers on the outside looking in, just like the Cardinals were last year with their 10 wins. They didn't get in. There's going to be a team or two or three or four that fits that description. Again, it might even be the Cardinals just within that division. I can see a case. You can make a pretty compelling case that the Seahawks aren't going to make the playoffs now. You have the Cardinals up there. And if, you know, at 4-2, I didn't see the Niners being 4-2 at this point. If, in fact, let's say they split, the Niners and Seahawks split when they play one another in the latter stages of the season, you could maybe see the defending champions not even in the January.
Hank, as a veteran of the coin flip segment, I respect your answer there.
Thank you.
But it's wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you throw a red flag on it?
we'll get one out early.
Reach deep into my pants. So Josh Gordon's coming back. Brian Hoyer's already playing much better than people thought he was going to play. We all thought Manziel was going to be in by now. He's also doing very well throwing it deep. One of the most accurate deep passers in the NFL. He actually has the highest completion percentage on his passes, 15-plus yards. And that's throwing it to, you know, 5'9 guys. You got Gabriel and Hawkins running routes. So when he gets Josh Gordon out there, that's only going to improve what they're doing.
I agree with all that.
And like Dave said, cupcake the next 3 weeks. So, you know, worst case, Josh Gordon comes back there 5-5.
I agree with all that stuff. I think the Browns are going to be a better offense with those guys. All I'm saying, Dave's particular question wasn't either or. Will Josh Gordon make the Browns better? Absolutely. Definitely not going to argue with that. But he was talking specifically about a playoff race, and I don't think the Browns are going to be in the playoff race.
I think
the teams around them in that division are only going to improve, and I don't think the Browns have the depth that you need when it comes to week 12, 13, 14 to make that
You know what
final
the correct
push.
Answer is? Can I tell you what the
Please
correct
do,
answer is?
Because you always know it.
Not enough information. It was a trick question all along, because we won't know. This is when we will have the answer. Monday morning. We won't know until then, because I'm interested to see how the Niners look against Peyton, and we will definitely be talking about that game, obviously, in just a second here. But even if they get smoked, it's not the end of the world, because, of course, without a pass rush, Peyton should thrive against that secondary. But the bigger game is the one in Jacksonville. The Browns coming off of what is a high watermark for the franchise to house the longtime bully, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the way they did. They're feeling really good about themselves. There's all sorts of positive noise, and Mike Pettine's a magician. I've patted him on the back more than anything else. Of all the great things he's done, it is amazing to me. The real miracle, the pieces are there for Cleveland, but the miracle that Pettine has pulled off is basically marginalizing Johnny Football, the most talked about guy all summer long. Mm-hmm. That was the story all summer long, and he's just a non-factor, and that no one is calling for him, and that you're not hearing from him, that he's not, that there's nothing, there's no melodrama surrounding the Manziel angle. And on the other hand, too, as a side note, the Brian Hoyer long-term contract is a fascinating one, and you talk about a coin flip. That is one that has no easy answer, because do you keep a guy that age, Brian Hoyer, who clearly doesn't have the pedigree to, you know, are you going to invest in him what, like an Alex Smith type contract even would be too much for me. You're not going to pay him $12 million, $15 million a year. That'd be silly. But on the other hand, you let Hoyer go and you put Manziel in there and he stinks. That's going to be a terrible thing. That's intriguing stuff. But that's not what Browns fans are worried about right now. I say this. I'm going to start off the Red Challenge Flag segment with a little pick of my own for you. I'm going to take the Jags in an upset here. This is where they get off the schneid. Blake Bortles is playing well. The Browns are due for a letdown. I have long described for you the Moby Dick syndrome, which is the Ravens are Ahab to the Steelers' Moby Dick. They are the bully of that division, the longtime bully. Teams get obsessed. We must vanquish the top of we must cut off the head of the beast in our division. That's what they just did to the Steelers. The problem is the Ravens have traditionally let down in the following week after they do that to the Steelers. I think the Browns are probably going to be in the same spot there. So I'm going to take the Jags there. And with that black tie, let's get into the Red Challenge Flag segment. Red Challenge Flag News. I think we can do better, black tie. We should work on a new sting for that.
All right, me and Dick Banks get in the studio, get in the lab, and cook something up.
No bigger fan of the one-man house man Dick Banks than I. I'm just saying that.
You don't like that one?
That's fine. It's fine. It's perfectly usable, but I think we could really jazz it up. The Red Challenge Flag segment, when we pick the games, is a very popular segment.
I don't know what to tell you, Dave. That's the way it is.
I like it.
David Grohl.
I don't understand yours, Handsome. You said bad statitude, but then that diminishes what his work is. It's not he's not going to have good stats. They're going to be
bad. I'm talking about he could be like a rebel stats guy.
Oh, I see.
You know, bad statitude, like a leather jacketed, you know, maybe Mohican stats guy who comes in and throws out
on a motorcycle,
like screeches up to Studio 66.
I like that.
Gets out and just delivers some bad statitude.
And we're like, wait, we have another question.
No. I don't care, guys.
Now, maybe I'll tell you next week. You know, and he flies out.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right, so let's get into it here. And does anybody want to take the bait on my Jags pick?
I hear what you say, but I'm not. I love it, and I'm with you on the idea of teams having letdowns after those big type of games. I just think that they're lucky. If they were playing against a team that was on their level, I would say they would have the letdown. If they're playing against the Jags, I would say that's not
possible. All right, we'll see. The more I think about this, the more
I think it'll become closer. Okay, good for you.
I also think it's commendable the job Gus Bradley's doing by staying off of the hot seat despite losing 18 of his last 22 games.
That is a great point.
People think there are great things coming.
There's something about, you know, we talk about the narrative, and this week's Sheck Report, I pay tribute to Cam Newton, because it is a funny thing that the media decides certain things, and I'm not one who thinks the media decides things for society, and we all pivot off of that. I don't think the mainstream media and all that hokum. But I do think that we sort of settle into an opinion on somebody, and the numbers just don't support that. Tom Brady as clutch, you know, there's nobody better in the postseason than Tom Brady. The numbers don't really support that. And I'm a big Tom Brady fan, but the numbers don't support that he delivers every January. He's the best. He's the guy you want under center. Not really. And similarly, Cam Newton is this guy who's mopey and doesn't cut the right figure. And I think you can read into that what you want to. And I don't want to race bait, but I think that this has persisted to this day. He won the division last year and now has that same team in first place with a terrible offensive line and all the wide receiver stuff and a not as good defense. And yes, and I think the Gus Bradley thing is, that was my point. I lost track of what my initial point was. Yes, the Gus Bradley narrative is, well, he's just going to create the Seahawks South. He built that Seahawks defense before he moved to Jacksonville, and so he shall do it again in Jacksonville, and there's no sign of that defense being really very good.
The offense has improved.
Yeah.
Defense is still as it was. Maybe you've got some stats to back that up.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I mean, as a Steeler fan, everyone, Todd Haley's a real issue. We got the 6th-ranked offense. We're 3-3. Everyone's calling for him, but, you know, Gus Bradley's just four wins.
No. See, you were on the right. Also, if you would go back and watch the Sheck
Report. I might be mistaking you for Snoop Dogg.
Go back and look at the Sheck Report, and I do denounce one Todd Haley, and I support Bruce Arians, who the Steelers – people don't know this nationally. It's surprising when I bring this up. Nobody knows what I'm talking about with this, but certainly people who support the Steelers know. Bruce Arians 2 years ago, Mike Tomlin announced Arians' retirement. That Arians did not, and it seemed strange at the time. Wait, what's going on here exactly? They pushed out Arians. He retired and then soon after took the OC job in Indy. Pagano takes ill, and essentially Arians guides the Colts to the playoffs with a rookie QB. Then he moves to Arizona, almost gets them to the playoffs last year. Now they're in first place. Talk about a flashpoint in two franchises' history if the Steelers would have kept Arians. And I absolutely think it's Todd Haley's fault, as a side note, when you consider how good Le'Veon Bell is in terms of statistics. Roethlisberger's having a plus-type season by his standard, and Antonio Brown's having a gangbuster season. It doesn't add up. How can they not score points? I don't want to talk about it anymore. Enough.
Have Arians and Tomlin met on the field since that day?
No, I guess
not. I can't think that they would have done.
No.
I could see that being a candidate for a Harbaugh-Carroll-type midfield meeting post-game.
Yeah. I would love that. Yeah,
what's
Arians
your deal,
to
man?
Tomlin. Yeah, yeah. If Arians is still in first place and the Steelers are languishing in last, like, hey, how you doing, Coach Tomlin? Yeah. Nice to see you again. How's everything going?
Decided against Florida.
Before we move on, I want to pull on Mike Tomlin and announce that Elliot is retired from this podcast.
Well played there, Drew. Yeah, Stat. Like, see, that's the sort of bad statitude that we
like. That's what I'm talking about.
Before we move on, Drew, excuse, how can you not mistake Dave here for Snoop Dogg?
I mean,
come on, player. What's that? What's up with that?
Snoop and I are fans who live in Southern California. We have a lot in common. We both like the Penguins, too. You saw his video. He had the Penguins sweater on back then. It was a Lemieux one, I think. Anyway, all right, let's pick some of these games here, shall we? So no one else is going with me on this Jags. Okay, I'll go. Well, I got the Jags in this one. Let's go back to the game we were just talking about with the Niners there against Peyton at home. Handsome, I start with you. Niners or Broncos? Who you got?
Dave, for this game, I've picked the Denver Broncos.
All right.
Mm.
Drew Statton?
I agree. Sorry, that's boring.
Now you have, but you have to give us a key stat that you like.
Well, Peyton Manning in primetime, he's thrown 21 touchdowns and 3 picks.
This is like Mike Vick when he was asked to play in the second half of the Chargers game. He didn't know what I wasn't prepared. After the podcast, he's going to admit the black tie. I'm going to tell you the truth.
That makes me Geno Smith.
Oh, yeah.
So can we find a different...
No,
I think that makes Elliot Geno.
Okay, maybe. Elliot's Geno. He didn't prepare you.
And you're Phil Rivers.
Yeah.
Now talk in a Southern accent the rest of the show.
I don't know.
Yeah, 21 TDs and 3 picks in his last 7 primetime games. He's going to come to play. He knows the records, within reach. He's got a national TV audience. It's all lined up.
I agree. It's just the big. It just seems like
the biggest game.
You have to throw it out there. Yeah, but of course, Peyton Manning. I think he throws 4 touchdown passes. No pass rush from the Niners, or not much of one.
How many rushing yards?
For
Peyton.
I think Peyton goes, I think he saw Cam Newton, what he did last week, and he thinks, you know what, I don't have a 100-yard rushing game on my resume. I'd like to get me one of those.
I think he's going to have -3 rushing yards.
Ooh. Okay, all right, that's a good one to keep our eye on.
One interesting note, though, on the Niners, they've only allowed 3 or more passing touchdowns 5 times under Harbaugh, including earlier this season against Jay Cutler, but doesn't happen a whole
lot. It would
lot.
Be for the Niners. You feel like in that game, Dave was just talking about a Super Bowl for the Browns and Steelers. I feel like the Niners defense, their Super Bowl, and I'm sure they will have read all the stuff of his Peyton's going to break this record in primetime. Will be, we do not want this to happen on our time. Basically, don't want that to be the highlight.
Is that your huddle? Your pregame speech?
I would do it with a little more rah rah, a little bit.
I would like,
and maybe a couple of words that I'm not going to say on this family program. But
we needn't be remembered as those who gave up the record-breaking throw.
Yeah, that type of
from
thing.
Peyton Manning. Let's not allow that to happen to us, mates. Let's go. Come on, chop chop.
That's exactly it.
All right. So, okay. So we all agree on the Broncos. Here's a tough one to call. The New Orleans Saints coming back off the bye now. No Jimmy Graham. Here we go. I've mentioned it 197 times in the last 3 weeks how tough their 10-game slate is coming up here. It starts up in Detroit. Drew Statton, how say you?
Saints.
Dave, I'm going to have to reach into my pocket and pull
All
out.
All right. Now we're hot. See, I got the Saints, by the way. I don't know why, but I do. There's not real reason for it except that they need it.
Well, let me help you give the reasons that that's not going to happen. I'm sure Drew has some stats for me here, but... Have you seen the Lions defense playing recently?
Yeah, it's remarkable. I don't get it. I don't know why it's the strength of the team.
Well, you get rid of a defensive coach and bring in an offensive coach, and then suddenly your offense tanks.
Your defense goes up. Exactly. Now you know the new, you just delivered the breaking news that's not particularly breaking news that Jimmy Graham's not going to be playing. So the Saints offense is worse off. Uh-huh. They're playing in Detroit. I think that this is a Lions victory, and I'm surprised.
Calvin Johnson
is also out. That's fine. They managed without him last week.
Okay.
The Saints' defense has been weak up until now. I think everything. The Mark Ingram's return is the one thing that will be interesting. If Ingram's there and he can play all game, and he got off to a much hotter start to this season, pretty much than he's mm-hmm. played all year. But you know, maybe the injury or coming back from that hand injury will slow him down a little bit in his first game back. I don't know. I just think this is a Lions victory. I think the Lions, you know, when we talk about teams that are going to be in that playoff race at the end of the season, the Lions are going to be right in the thick of that.
Boy, like I say, Bucky and I debated this earlier in the week.
It was a great debate.
It's really very tough to figure out. So, you know, Bucky just kicked the Bears to the curb there. They can't hang in here and be relevant with that defense. But I think that the Lions – yeah, the offense should be better. Yeah, so and the Saints, they happen to be in a bum division, so they could even win it at 8-8 or even 7-9. But if Carolina somehow could win and the Saints lost here, they're 2-3. The Saints, you know, and like I keep saying, tough schedule the rest of the way here. So I'll go with the Saints here. They need this one, and Mark Ingram, like you say, handsome. I think he goes for. I think he goes over 100.
The thing is, I wonder if they'll. You know, while he was out, they had that rotation with Pierre Thomas, with Kyrie Robinson, with Tavares Cadet. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they'll, you know, if they will stick with the rotation, which has been Sean Payton's preference.
Is that because you don't want to drop Tavares Cadet in your fantasy league?
I do like Tavares Cadet. I like his name.
Here's okay. You talk about narratives. May I say one more that everybody just kisses everybody? You know, once you establish what if everybody signs off on things, or if 90%,
you've already explained what a narrative is, Dave.
I know, but all right, but everybody decided long ago that the Iron Four quarterbacks are Peyton, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees. But nobody is talking about the fact that Drew Brees has been pretty crummy this year. Yeah. Do you have some numbers to support that, Drew?
I mean, way to throw me right on the spot.
I know, I did.
Well, first. Speaking of Drew Brees, he's never lost to the Lions 4-0, 14 touchdowns, one pick.
Yeah, but that's when he was good. I just announced that he's not good.
He's not good anymore?
No, but I do think that nobody is talking about the fact that he's been kind of lousy this year. Everybody's talking about the defense and this and that, but really Drew Brees is
remarkable. Off the mark. He's on pace for 5,037 yards, which would be the fewest that he's had since 2010.
Wow, that is crazy.
How is that possible? So, yeah, he's playing down, but this is a road game, and it's going to be a road game played indoors, so he at least has the dome factor there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And Stafford at home in his last four games, last eight games, he's 4-4, and he's thrown more picks, 16, than touchdowns, 11. So he hasn't been playing very well at home. And can Matt Prater make a field goal, please?
All right, let's talk about Monday night. 2-3-3 teams, two teams that fancy themselves as relevant for the playoff race here, but I think this one will tell us a great deal about which one is for real or if either of them is. It's the Houston Texans, and at the time of this recording, Thursday Night Football is going to kick off here in a couple hours, and Jadeveon Clowney may come back out onto the field there. We already know that J.J. Watt has been an absolute terror of late. Talk about terror. Pittsburgh Steelers have been terrorized by some not very good teams, and they now sit at 3-3. Handsome Hank, how say you?
Dave, I have, like you, been unimpressed by the Steelers so far this season, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here and say that the Pittsburgh Steelers will win this game, and if they don't, then what I just told you earlier on about the Browns and the playoffs and coming fourth in that division, that's when I might have to reconsider, but I'm giving the Steelers one last shot.
All right. Okay, it's interesting. I'm going to go Steelers here, too. Drew, how say you?
Hold on. I got to check for something. No, it's not a red flag. I'm going with the Steelers.
What is that? I don't like that, though. I don't want you guys both picking the Steelers. I want you to – that makes –
They've never lost at home on Monday night. They're 7-0 at Heinz Field.
That's not true. They've never lost on Monday Night Football?
Monday Night Football, Heinz Field, they're 7-0.
Oh, in Heinz Field. Okay. Yeah,
true story.
I can cite them losing Monday Night Football games before at home.
And you know, Ben 5-0, another win. We'll tie him with Randall Cunningham at 6-0 for second best on Monday night at home since 1950. Only Peyton Manning has been better.
You know, in the copycat league, I said that Roethlisberger should take a page from Aaron Rodgers, who said relax and do a Pittsburgh version of that and say, chill out, Yins. But you know, he should make that. But he did basically say this week that we're not panicking. So I like that, unless it's just – it is just – well, it worked for Rodgers. Well, I may as well say we're not panicking either. Everybody else should relax. maybe that's what's going on there. And I can tell you, people don't – I know – people who root for teams like the Browns or Jags or whatever might say, oh, you're 3-3. Stop acting like it's the end of the world. But it does feel like when you look at the pieces, if you're a Steelers fan, they are off the rails. This is not acceptable. They lost to Tim Tebow in that playoff game. Then they went 8-8. Now they're 3-3 again, and there does not look to be an identity with this team. A lot of questions about Haley, about Tomlin, about LeBeau, about Kevin Colbert, who's bringing in the personnel. The defense obviously is not a strength. The offense needs to score a lot more points than what it's doing. It's not doing it. I could absolutely see this being the final nail in it. And if it is, Tomlin is absolutely going to be in some real jeopardy too.
He will be, but he's lucky in that he has that high profile offensive coordinator that he can throw under
a
bus.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point.
I think this year, regardless of what happens, say it goes as wrong as you just explained there, I think he can sacrifice Todd Haley and say, we need to start again here. We've got Ben Roethlisberger. We've got, you know, I need my last chance to get the best out of Ben's twilight years in the NFL. If it goes wrong again next year, then he's the one on the hot seat. I don't see Tomlin being the guy who takes a fall for this season, whatever happens.
Drew Staton, now he does have two Super Bowl appearances, but those are, relatively speaking, those are quite a ways in the rearview mirror now by Pittsburgh Steelers standards. Drew, I start with you on this next game here. Just a couple more fellas. I'm intrigued by this one. I imagine you guys are going to be park your cars in the same garage. The Atlanta Falcons, who start the season by whipping Drew Brees and the Saints, they're back, and oh, Matt Ryan, see, you're wrong if you don't get that he's one of the six or eight best quarterbacks in the league and all that jive. And then the Ravens look like, wow, they're a mess with the Ray Rice stuff. This is going to be a lost season. And the Ravens sit at 4-2, and the Falcons are now 2-4. Drew Staton, how say you on this one?
I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens.
Dave, last week I picked the Falcons to beat the Bears. It was one of only two games I got wrong. The other one was because I couldn't find the tie button in Pick'em.
Is that right? You beat me by a game. I can't believe. I missed only three, and you beat. I didn't even check to see.
I'm going with the Ravens. I say with the Steelers, I kind of give people one last shot, and I really did that with the Falcons last week against the Bears. I have run out of patience with the Atlanta Falcons, and the Ravens, I think, will beat them.
I think, I mean, you talk every year this is true, but I don't consider Mike Smith a high-profile coach, but Rex Ryan and, you know, and by the way, I'll say this as a side note. Whatever the Jets finish, I think that you really should. I'm not one who just advocates, well, fire the coach. The team isn't good. And the Jets have been lousy for a little while now. But I feel like they would make a mistake to get rid of Rex Ryan. I don't think that's a smart move. It is circumstantial. So the Idzik made a bad call on Geno. That didn't work out. And Eric Decker has looked all right when he's in there. I think they need another year. I think they would be good in 2015 if they can resolve the QB thing, which is no small thing.
But don't resolve that in 1 year. We've seen that in very few places where you get that sorted out in a single season.
I think if they had a steady hand type of guy, I don't think Chad Henne makes Jacksonville a decent team, but I think one of those veteran kind of guys, you bring him in next year, I think that would work.
So
with
Brian
a good defense.
Hoyer.
Yeah, Brian Hoyer.
Something like that. Yeah, I think Brian Hoyer with what that Jets defense is capable of being, I would hesitate to kick him to the curb.
I would too. And I when we talk about the potential opening in Miami and people, I think, have kind of assuming that Harbaugh will be, you know, in play there. But we've already seen Stephen Ross miss out on Harbaugh once. I'd say if Rex Ryan got fired, I'd say that I'd love the Dolphins to snap up Rex Ryan. I think that would be the ultimate. You get a pissed off, excuse my English, coach being able to coach against his former team twice a year. I think that's the ideal scenario to get Rex Ryan involved in. But But I think the problem with what you're saying about, you know, bringing in a Hoyer or someone else, Rex Warren's defense is predicated on having those good corners. And right now, they, you know, outside of having a great quarterback, which is important, his defense is not going to stand up to the test it's going to get with the D. Milners and Kyle
Wilson. If Milner
Wilson's
is, in fact,
world,
the bust that he is looking like. Yeah. Right. And so
it's more than just the quarterback.
I am a little bit confused because I thought Rex Ryan was going to be coaching the L.A. Rams next year.
Yeah, I did declare that Rex Ryan will be the L.A. Rams coach, and perhaps that's the way it'll go.
Last year,
will Jim Harbaugh be coaching the L.A. Raiders?
Last year, Dave declared he'd be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys this year. So there's all kinds of places you might find Rex.
Did I say that one? I thought I said that he would be coaching the Raiders.
Week one, podcast one.
Oh, was Cowboys?
2013 season. My prediction, Rex Ryan will be head coach of the Dallas Cowboys come the start of the 2014 season.
That Dave Dameshek will be the coach of the Cowboys.
That'd be cool.
It would be.
I would do that.
Jerry
I would
do
totally
that. You
do
and
it.
Jerry would work well together.
Call me. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. There's some teams out. Gus Bradley is a, for instance. Could it go worse? I couldn't do worse than 0-6. Let's see.
Why not?
We already saw what Gus Bradley's going to do. What Dameshek might cook up, TBD.
It'd be amazing if you were.
Thank you, A.J. Hawk.
It'd be amazing if you were, if that came to pass and you were a great NFL head coach.
I think I would be. As I've said before, I don't make any secret about it. We would play with might. Might is right, and it would just be a lot of screen passes. That would be my offensive philosophy. Right. 2/3 of the play, screens.
As anyone who's watched the DDFP TV video pieces, you'd look great in a headset.
Yeah, I would. But I'd be old school. I'd be suit and tie.
Okay.
That's all. That's
what kind of hat? Visor?
Listen, if the weather called for a hat, for a handsome chapeau, then it would be atop my head.
What, with your headset over the top of the hat?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, because the
Tom Landry would not do well these days.
Yeah, right.
Because you'd look weird with that hat on top of the headset.
Well, Weeb Eubank, I think he used to wear didn't he have the headset on over the ball cap, but with a suit? All right, I'm going to have to think about this one. But I'll look good. That's the bottom line.
Real quick, though, I just want to give credit to Robert Skimbri, who is the one who came up with the Juice Statton name. But as I do that, that's going to be retired because now we have Matt Stafford.
Ooh.
Yeah, but he's wicked.
I like Matt Stafford a lot, I saw Matt Stafford and Drew Statton. Stanton is, in fact, just a backup, except that Drew Christensen's first name is Drew, so it makes better sense for him to be Drew Statton.
Well, Drew Stanton did go to Michigan State, and I went to Michigan, so if you want to switch it,
parallels,
that's fine. We can go Matt Stafford.
It's tricky.
You're the only one who doesn't have a say in this. We'll let you know when we decide what it's going to be once and for all. Okay, real quick, this is two bum teams, but it's a tough one to call. Titans at DC, how say you, Handsome?
That's a tough one.
I know. I know where you're going to pick. I know you're going to take the Colts over the Bengals, right? Am I wrong? Is anybody taking the Bengals to go into Indy and beat that team?
No.
All right. I mean, the way the defense has looked, no offense to T-New, but I mean, you know, they have the last couple of weeks not been at their best, so, and the Colts have been rolling, obviously. So, okay, so Titans at DC.
Kirk Cousins' first game. I loved Kirk Cousins. Remember that first game he started against
that.
The Eagles?
I got pretty excited about Kirk Cousins. Everybody got too crazy. I said, settle down. RG3 is going to be the guy. Jay Gruden has now confirmed that that's the case.
Right.
I told you that was hokum. Anyway.
Okay. Thanks very much for shooting me down. I'm gonna.
I didn't think that's what you were starting to say there. Thanks for shooting me down. All right, go ahead.
I'm picking the Redskins. Despite what I just said, I think Kirk Cousins is going to have to have a good game.
I'm so uninterested in this game that I didn't even prepare any stats for it. I'll just throw that out there now.
I like the idea that the stats guys lose. Sorry, Rich Eisen and whoever else is out there on the game day morning.
But that's what I mean.
You're not going to actually talk about this.
Bad statitude. He's just like, I'm not providing stats for that.
The Redskins do have a top 10 offense and defense, despite their terrible record.
What does that even mean? That's a meaningless.
What do you mean? I'm saying that maybe they're better than the record shows. They got a top 10 offense, a top 10 defense. Maybe, you know, it's just luck of the draw.
What it says is that numbers lie.
Maybe clipboard Jesus walks into, you know, strolls in, and they get it done.
All right. Well, I think it's going to be Jake Locker. It's the last I saw anyway. But either way, not a game that I'll be spending a lot of time. The thing that bummed me out, in fact, I saw a stat. I don't know what it is, but I know that exactly what the numbers are. But DC is apocalyptically bad in their gold pants, which is devastating to me, because if they get rid of those gold pants, I'll be very sad. They have among the best uniforms in the NFL when they go out there in those gold pants. Don't get rid of them. I don't care. It's better to look good than to feel good sometimes.
Dave, I've got some uni news for you.
Oh.
The Chargers, San Diego Chargers, will be playing in their powder blues this week against the Chiefs. Ooh.
But the good ones with the numbers on the hats or just the shiny...
I don't know.
All right, it's going to be those dumb... What they consider their alternates, their is that just... It's powder blue, but it's that same dumb... dark blue trim in it, and that's too much. Just put the black numbers on the side of the white hats and be done with it already. That's the cool uniform. All right, black tie is a black tie. Just said, like,
it's enough of this. We have to talk to Eddie Lacy. I don't care about your dumb uniform stuff anymore. Just get to Eddie Lacy here already.
Is that what you said, black tie?
More
Why
or
don't
less.
You just say that out loud? Why do you have to whisper it in my ear?
Well, in my ear too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Eddie Lacy is waiting, and you're busy talking about uniforms. It's really a slap in his face, so please get to him already.
As if Hank and I have any direction over the, you know, any control over the direction of this podcast.
Yeah, that's right, Black Tie.
You think I
do? No, I don't.
All right, real quick, like I say, Thursday Night Football is about to start. I think that one's going to be close. I say 2013 on that one, and by the time you're listening to this, there's a good chance you'll laugh at me for that pick, but that's what I say. I take the Colts at home, Seahawks over the Rams, the Titans over D.C. I'll take the Packers at home, and big. I say that with all due respect and as much as I just praise Cam Newton, I say this is a big win for the Packers. The Jags at home over the Browns, Ravens at home over the Falcons, Bills at home over the Vikings, Bears over your Dolphins. I'm sorry, Handsome Hank. I have a hunch that that the Bears get it rolling now. I think that the you know, they almost they lose that one to Carolina 2 weeks ago, and I think that now they're going to start playing well. Saints over the Lions, Chargers over Chiefs, Cowboys against the Giants. I'll take the Cowboys at home. The Cardinals on the road at the Raiders, Broncos over Niners, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a pick made more with the heart, perhaps, than with the head. What's funny now, Handsome?
I don't believe anything's funny.
What were you laughing?
He was just laughing that my
Raiders
are going to be 0.
Raiders are going to be...
Just, oh, and they're going to lose again.
Yeah, I need them to win a game already because I like to do the transitive property every year. I like to apply, like, here's how you know who's good, because that team beat that team who beat that team who beat that team. But then when you have teams not winning games, then I can't really do
it. It nearly came up big where if the Raiders had beaten the Chargers last week and the Chargers had beaten the Seahawks, then that whole thing would be made.
We'd have just about a complete circle with Gus Bradley's team just sitting in the middle all by themselves.
Yeah.
But we need the Raiders or Jags. But you know what? I think I can call my shot here and now. The Jags, when they win, will be close enough. We'll have 31 teams with wins, and we'll be able to do the whole labyrinthine thing that we do every year on the Sheck Report. All right, so listen. So goodbye to Drew Statton. Thanks for coming in. Oh, no. Wait, we got to still get to the stats here, Black Tie.
That's the main event, guys. Come on.
We have time with Eddie Lacy? We can delay
Eddie
Lacy? All right, get to it. So let's do that then first. All right, go ahead there, Drew Statton. Right. I'm sorry, I stole away from your big moment.
This is going to fascinate Eddie Lacy while he's listening on the phone anyway, so this is fine.
What are we calling this now, Black Tie?
Can't get no satisfaction.
Okay.
From Will Davis. It's going to give us satisfaction.
Yeah, right.
So it was mentioned earlier that
Stats Incredible is still the old one, but it's maybe the simplest and best. I don't know. Go ahead.
The Browns and their cupcake schedule, they face opponents with one combined win in the last 3 weeks. The last team to enter week 7 or later in the season having an easier road than the Browns currently do were the 1991 Jets. They were facing the winless 0-7 Colts, the 1-6 Packers, and the 0-7 Colts. So it's pretty historically easy road that the Browns have here. And what do you think? They win two of those three?
Yeah. Who, the Jets? How did the Jets do?
Who cares? The Jets went 2-1. But the Browns.
The Browns could be 6-2.
They sweep it.
If they're 6-2, and you assume if we are right that the Bengals lose at Indy, and you know the Ravens still have to go to Pittsburgh, and that those are always not always, but more often than not, very tight games. You can absolutely make a case that they're, you know, by Thanksgiving that could be a first place team, and Josh Gordon will be out there. It's quite a thing. And if I would have told you again, Imagine if I said, no, the Browns are in first place and we're getting way ahead of ourselves. They're not there yet. But let's say they were 6-2. You would say, oh, my God, Johnny Football must just be a revelation, yeah. Eh? He must just be the greatest thing there is, and he has nothing to do with any of it.
I will just say that would make my coin toss right over Hank. So
see, now you have reason to root for something.
Next one, there was a lot of talk after, you know, Rodgers led that comeback against Hank's Dolphins. Hank, feel free to walk out. Where, you know, oh, Rodgers is so clutch at the end of the game. Who would you rather have out there than Aaron Rodgers? Well, that was only Rodgers' 7th come-from-behind win. He's actually 7-25 when his team is trailing by 1-8 points at any point in the fourth quarter.
But, I get that kind of a thing, but I, as Aaron Rodgers' greatest supporter outside of the state of Wisconsin, he's almost always had terrible defenses. So then he gets into track meets in the fourth quarter. If he's trailing, then his defense isn't stopping the opponent from doing it. So even if he mounts a comeback, it relies on the defense to make a stop, and he doesn't play with the defense that does that.
Well, even Manning, that was, you know, the narrative with him was always that, oh, his defense needed to have
true.
A lead.
I guess you just caught me with that point.
He's 40-52. In that same situation, win percentage of 435, and Rodgers at 219.
You know what it is? The more time you're out there as a, you know, in any sport, the more time you're out there, the more exposure you get to failure. And, you know, people have said that to me about Peyton Manning. When I say he's not good in January, they say, yeah, he makes the playoffs every year. That exposes him to those potential losses. If you don't get to the postseason, then you don't have a strike in the loss column against you. I get that. All right, anyway, so interesting point.
All right, one last one. The Jets.
In fact, that's really bad. 7-25.
7-25, not that great. Yeesh. Exactly.
Well, atrocious even.
The Jets and Sexy Rexy, their 5-game losing streak. He's currently 43-43 as the Jets head coach, which leaves only 2 Jets head coaches with a winning record.
Weeb Eubank.
Joe Walton.
Well, you're both wrong. Next guess.
No, not Weeb, huh? Winning record, Bill Parcells.
Parcells.
Yep. And the other guy coached 1 season.
Oh,
Al Groh.
Yep,
there you go.
Al Groh, yep.
Nailed it.
Very nice.
Parcells.
Boom.
So,
In
Ryan's whole career is 18 seasons as an NFL head coach, which includes all of his time as an assistant and D coordinator and, you know, with his dad. He's only lost 5 straight games one other time, when the Ravens lost 9 straight in 2007.
How about that?
Fascinating.
That wasn't.
You
that
like?
Was good.
I should have just cut it at Al Groh.
Yeah. You should have quit at Al Groh after Handsome's great victory. What a great call that was.
Thank
to get
you.
Al Groh there. All right. Well, listen. Let's get to him here. Thanks for coming in, Drew Statton and Handsome Hank. Right now, the star running back in his sophomore year, out of Bama. Here he is, everybody. Eddie Lacy, what's the poop, fella?
Hey, man, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure. And listen, just like Aaron Rodgers told the Packers fans a few weeks ago, relax, everybody. Did he say that to you guys as well inside the locker room?
Definitely. And, you know, the coaches said it as well. You know, we have to find out what works for us. And, you know, it might not happen, you know, when – the fans are, you know, want it to happen, but we know that it will happen. And, you know, we just need everybody to relax because, you know, like I said, it's all going to come together.
Well, let's look back at Sunday, the drive. Listen, one thing, Eddie Lacy, that you should know is here when you are on the Dave Damashek football program, our cardinal rule is no jive. Don't jive me. You know, I'm a grown-up and you're a grown-up. And, you know, I feel like that Aaron Rodgers in that huddle must have said something before this great drive went down. I predicted, and I don't want to jive you, I predicted that the Dolphins were going to beat you. I slept on your mighty offense led by number 12 there. What did Rodgers say to you guys in the huddle at the beginning of that drive, if anything?
I wasn't in on that drive. I finished it, but Starks actually started it. But, I mean, you know, when 12's in a huddle, you know, he probably told everybody, you know, keep calm, we have enough time on the clock. You know, everybody in the huddle is, you know, good enough to be able to make the plays, take what they give us, and, you know, just don't try to win the game on your own. If you catch it and you can get out of bounds, get out of bounds, but definitely just stay in tune with them.
Do you guys because I've talked with you know, here on the show, AJ Hawk. Well, that's his former name, by the way, Eddie Lacy. I have thought, what do you, maybe you can talk to him a little bit about this too. I told him, I know he's a little long in the tooth in his career, but still, he would have a much higher profile if he would get rid of the AJ thing and just be Hawk. You know, like Sting or someone like that. Don't you think that'd be a cool move for Hawk?
You know, I think that's a good idea, and I think he should get his long hair back. He definitely should get the long hair back, too.
I don't know about that, though, Lacy, because I feel like Clay Matthews copycatted AJ Hawk, or I should say Hawk, and now it's like Clay Matthews has the Thor hair, and AJ Hawk has a hairdo that's here and now. You know, he's setting a new hairstyle trend in Green Bay.
Oh, well, when you look at that, I can see that, too. Yeah, you're right. But the Hawk thing definitely sounds, we should just drop the AJ part.
I think that'd be cool. I also encouraged him. Maybe you can try this one. I told him the Lambo leap, when you do that, punctuate it, make it your own. Do the Lambo leap, but then the closest Packers fan to you, grab a beer out of their hand and drink it down in a split second. Yeah, you'd get suspended probably by the team for a week or two, but you'd be a legend for all of time. You know?
You definitely be a legend. You will never be forgotten, but you will probably get some kind of consequence coming along with that.
I think it's worth dealing with. Anyway, all right, let's talk about you. And, you know, you have the great rookie season, and things are a little sluggish for that whole offense, it seemed, coming out of the gate. But now you, like that offense in general, seem to be hitting your stride there. You know, it's a weird pivot point for running backs in the NFL. We know about Adrian Peterson, and Shady didn't get out to the greatest start there. So where do you sort of stack up? Do you look around the league and compare yourself to the other high-profile runners out there?
I don't. I honestly have no idea what's going on, you know, with other running backs and things like that. I just more focused on me and trying to get myself, you know, going like I was last year.
And what do you say to anybody who questioned the way you started the season versus how you've been running the ball over the last few weeks now?
I mean, it's a process. You know, if it was easy, then, you know, we'd have 100-plus rushing yards and 400-plus passing yards every game. But, you know, those guys on defense get paid just like we do to go out and do their job. So it's definitely not going to be easy. You have to, you know, find different little things to be able to get out and, you know, just get you moving again.
Do you like, though, so do you – you don't strike me, to be honest, as a guy who loves in your free time sitting around and watching other NFL games. Do you like to sit there and check out how Le'Veon Bell looks as a, for instance, if he happens to be on in prime time or another one of the guys who you sort of came into the league with?
I don't. I've never been a football, like, watching football fan. You know, I'd much rather just go out and play it, so – you know, whenever I do have time, I'm definitely not watching football.
Well, what I've heard is that you are a great cartoon enthusiast. Is that true?
Yes, that's very accurate.
What's your favorite cartoon? Because, you know, Saturday morning cartoons are now gone. I can't believe that they got rid of them. You're much younger than me, so probably our favorites don't overlap. But let's see. What's your favorite cartoon to watch?
Like, even going, like, growing up?
Whatever. What's your favorite TV show cartoon?
My favorite TV show cartoon is Dragon Ball Z.
Is what?
Dragon Ball Z. It was a fighting cartoon. Real cool.
Oh, I don't know that one. Did you ever see?
I mean, what about Tom and Jerry? That was my favorite.
Wow, yeah, that's a classic.
Hold on. This is
what, Black Tie? Why are you interrupting us?
You don't know Dragon Ball Z, Damashek?
I told you I'm older than you. I don't know Dragon Ball Z. I've heard of it.
Tell them about the Super Saiyan and Goku and all those guys. How do you not know Dragon Ball Z? This is a shame.
What can I tell you? I don't know that show. What I grew up watching was Super Friends. Now, what about that, Eddie Lacy?
I have no idea as to what that is.
You have no idea what Super Friends is. That's far more outrageous.
That was 30 years ago.
That was the
Eddie probably knows Justice League, though.
Yeah, the Justice League.
Yeah.
Superman, Batman. Who would win in a fight, Eddie Lacy, if you know cartoons? If Superman and Batman and Aquaman and Wonder Woman on one side, and then you had the Avengers on the other side with the Hulk and Thor and Captain America and Iron Man, who would win that battle?
Oh, wow, that's tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a Hulk guy, so I'll probably lean more towards the Avengers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough because Superman, he'd probably be the hardest one to beat.
That's right. Well, first of all, Green Arrow and what's his name? Hawkeye. They would cancel each other out. They're just human beings who shoot arrows, so who cares about either one of them? It really comes down, in my book, to, like you say, Superman versus the Hulk and how you see that one coming out.
Yeah, that'd definitely be a tough battle.
Can I tell you what the correct answer is in that head-to-head bout?
What is the correct answer?
Superman would beat the Hulk, because even though you can't destroy the Hulk, what you do is Superman's smarter than he is, so he would just grab the Hulk by his toe and carry him out into space and then just leave him there. How's Hulk getting back on their planet Earth? He's not, is the answer.
Yeah, that's the correct answer, all right.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about Bama. You know, somebody mentioned this to me a couple weeks ago, and I thought, yeah, that is Eddie Lacy is the one guy who disproves this theory. What is going on with Bama guys, Bama runners specifically? It seems like for all the college success, there isn't it hasn't translated into success at the NFL level. What gives there?
Ooh, that's a great question. I mean, if I had to guess, I would say, you know, being under Nick Saban, you have to, you know, you always have to have your mind right. You know, he has us pretty much like programmed as far as mentally and being physical and, you know, the whole nine yards. And, you know, it was very strict down there. So it was like his way or the highway. So everybody was always ready. And, you know, whoever's across from you, you know, you're going to have to feel what we have to go through, you know, every day leading up into the game. But, I mean, I have no idea. Like now, I mean, maybe they don't have the same motivation or the same, you know, type of structure that they had when we were in college. And, I mean, maybe that's what I have. Like, if I had to guess, I guess that's what it would be.
If Saban got the right call, I know that he has turned down some offers. Does he make sense as an NFL coach in your book? You say he's a disciplinarian. Would that work with guys that are in their late 20s, early 30s?
I doubt it. I mean, you know, you get on this level, you know, it's, you know, they have the right to, I guess you could say, talk back in a way. And I mean, it'll probably be like a bunch of rebuttaling going on back and forth. And, the guys probably won't buy into the system or like the way that he tries to, talk to them and coach them like that. So, I think college is definitely the best place to go because it's a bunch of 18, 19 year old guys. And, you know, he pretty much just runs it. You know, you have to listen to him.
Yeah, it seems like Mike McCarthy is probably a little bit more fun to hang out with, probably has more laughs with the players. Anyway, listen, Eddie Lacy, go get him over the rest of the season here. Hawk, all the rest of the fellas. I don't like your idea of Hawk growing the long hair back, though. Let Clay Matthews have
that. The long hair was cool, man.
All right. Well, and last question before you go is what are you going to be for Halloween?
Oh, man, I don't know. This is definitely going to be my first year dressing up, though. I've never dressed up for Halloween. So whatever it is, it has to be cool, but I have no idea.
Well, maybe it could be one of those Dragon Ball Z things. I don't know what that is, but whatever it is.
I don't like to get my hair to stick up like theirs do.
See, that reference, again, is lost on me. I don't know. I'm still caught up in the Aquaman and how he was allowed into the Justice League with his weak power of talking to fish. He's mean to the fish. Hey, do my bidding, fish, and then I'll take all the credit. That's a jerk move by Aquaman in my book. So don't be him. That's all I'm going to tell you, Eddie Lacy. The rest is
definitely
up to you.
Definitely.
All right, listen, best to all the fellas up in Green Bay, and like I say, best wishes. And good health to you the rest of the year, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. David Damashek. All right. There he goes. Nice fella, that Eddie Lacy. Black tie. See to it that he pays us another visit. I liked his way. We should debate more cartoons. I don't know that one, though. Dragon Ball
Dragon
Z.
Dragon Ball Z. Come on, check. But what's more hilarious to me is how he's not a fan at all of football, he says. He's like, if I'm not playing football, yeah, I'm definitely not watching
There are a
football.
Lot of guys that are like that play pro sports. I've often said the intrigue in watching others play sports has an inverse relationship with how good you are at
Agreed.
That sport.
I mean, think about it. As a player, a young player, you're growing, you're getting better, you're working at your game. You're not watching the game. And then
I think like Kobe Bryant loves sitting and watching basketball. Mike Tyson likes watching, knows the history of boxing.
There are
and stuff,
a few of those.
But there aren't a ton of guys that love to sit around and watch other guys.
No,
yeah.
They're not.
So anyway, and then there are nerds like me who didn't make the varsity and then spend time watching everyone else. But I didn't become a referee, and that brings us back to Terrence Newman. Thanks to him, and Eddie Lacy and Drew Statton, Drew Christensen, and the great Handsome Hank, and to you, Black Tie.
Also, shout out to Faustai, who helped out on the Terrence Newman intro.
Oh, yep. Oh, really? Yep, excellent. Right. Yeah, great job on that. All right, we'll be back after Week 7 to talk about those games and look ahead to Week 8. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.